Twitter at Jimbo Talks. I think that's an excellent idea.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here. Kind of got a little frog in my throat and you know, you get jumpy and they don't taste good and all of that. So bear with me today. And many of the things we want to talk about. Quite a few things, in fact. We're going to be talking about Miley. We chatted a bit about it last week briefly. And we got pond or hay up here. If we get some time to talk about that, we'll talk at length about that. And anything else that's on your mind, but I definitely want to talk about the property at Ma'ili and what that entails and the contamination. And folks, it's inexcusable. Some of you may have seen the piece done on a KGMB or Hawaii News Now last Saturday, Friday. But, you know, at some point, you have to ask yourself, how do we relieve ourselves of these issues of contamination? And I'll start by saying, with the contamination issue at Miley, there's money available, and even if there wasn't, this is a military site owned by the United States Coast Guard, and there's a procedure and a protocol regardless of what we think, and there should be money available. And when they close down, when they operate the facility, there should be money. When they, from maintenance and all of that, and when they close it, there should be money to study the chemicals and reduce the threat to the environment and people. And there are monies available, you know. So what happens is that the monies, for some reason, dries up. Or it's not a priority to the people. So there are some serious problems out there with all of this. If I'm hoping that most of you can hear me out there, because I just had a sound like when something went out, but we'll continue to talk. But anyway, I don't know where to start to tell you how disturbing it is, and how it's inexcusable to have government agencies who has the money to operate, has the money to function, and are required to clean it up and mitigate everything, and then they just walk away. And we'll talk about the entire history of this. But out there in Miley now, there, understand what we've been told, is that in the Pacific Basin, the United States Coast Guard has approximately 11 project manager positions available and assigned to them in the Pacific Basin. This is from another agency who's providing this information, so I'll speak with a little guarded concerns, but I think we can bank on what is said is to be true. Of those 11 positions, two of them are filled, and they're in the Bering Sea. And one was filled here, and that party that was here doing the work at that would have handled Miley, the Voice of America site, would have actually been out and taken care of it, but the work was so difficult, I'm told, and the overwhelming, that she decided to go to EPA, take a job there. So that left us with nothing, nobody, zilch. And that left us with all of the contaminants that we're going to be talking about. And I must tell you, it's inexcusable. We always hear that they need more money, and I'm sure in this conversation, many of you will call up and go, well, it takes money to do these things. Yeah, and believe it or not, there is money. And what we've learned with the United States Coast Guard is that the Coast Guard has identified $1.8 million And that money is in our current budget to clean up the 5 acres still in our possession where the transmitter site was previously located. Now, going back, the area was, we're going to say, let's just round it off to 90 acres. And that acreage was dwindled down by various acts, the size of the actual site. One, the area was dwindled down by taking a portion, approximately 4 to 5 acres, and giving it to the city for the Miley Stream. Well, hold on. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm going to need this number, please. I was expecting a caller. You can call.
I will.
Okay, thank you. Call on. Thank you. So this situation, the 5 acres went to the city to build the stream. And there are about, we're going to talk loosely about the actual acreage, and leaving some 84 acres, not to be exact. That acreage then somehow, and we've talked about this on the show many, many, many occasions, where we share with you, when there is contamination, when the federal government and the military just simply want to shirk their responsibility illegally, be in a fashion, but nobody's going to flash a badge and arrest them because, you know, it's driven by power. And so you're left to exposures that you simply don't know. Bellows example was one where they cleared it up. They said that it was clear. Bellows was not clear. They had to later get money to clean it up, even though they had declared it was clear. So the Coast Guard in this situation took the land, knowing that it was contaminated, went to GSA, Government Services Agency, or whatever you call it, and Supply Agency, and contacted them and said, look, find a user for this so we can transfer this land. They did, and voila, the magic rabbit pops out of the hat like many, many occasions, and I think, I will say this openly, but I think the greatest insult that the Hawaiian people have experienced is the two things, is the Department of Hawaiian Homelands and OHA. And here's why I say that. In this case at Miley, we know the land was contaminated, but Governor Lingle came along and says, well, we have, and I mean, folks, I don't mean contaminated in a sense where someone spilled a cup of coffee and it had some bad things in it. This was bad, PCBs and other contaminants. So Governor Lingle did a proclamation, took a portion of the land that is contaminated. Now, if you talk to the state, they're going to say, well, it didn't exceed our levels of, concern. Really? It's residential. These are children that are going to be there possibly, and so you have different levels, and it's a residential area. So Lingle built this facility, and that dwindled it down, the whole property, to a small portion. Then DHHL takes the land, never cleaning it up, basically sheltering the federal government from any responsibility. And I say that with liberty because they should have cleaned it up long time ago, but they didn't. Now they're saying we have $1.8 million to clean it up, but it's been there since the 40s. And we see the full characterization of the land is really not complete. For example, an acre of land is about 44,000 square feet. They're using that to characterize the land when, in fact, they should have 5,000 square feet to study those areas, sample those areas. And that would dictate if it's safe or not, or give a better characterization. I won't say safe. So now the Kamehameha Schools takes a portion of the land and build a beautiful facility. It's a community facility and many other things. But it sits right there, too. But the 5 acres of concern right now is the one that has the levels of PCB so high that it touched the sky. It's as a child would say. And here, sample of soil ID. Met the reporting limit for PCB in one instance, 1260. The reporting limit is 8,330. When they did their sampling, they found that it contained 62,600 milligrams per kilogram, or parts per million. Folks, that's unacceptable. And I don't know. I don't know what it is that they are trying to pull over us, but something is wrong there. I thought I was going to get better with the voice. Richard, if you were out there, you call back, and Jim Dittmar was going to call in as well. So feel free to call in, and I want to get that bit out, and then I'll be revisiting the subject. Caller, you have a comment or question?
Hey, yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is about Miley and all of those development and high-end houses that are $500,000 now. I can't say that any of these people knew or didn't know, but how did they get away with building all of this high-end development out there?
That's where we're working toward, trying to explain the corruption and the way things are being give it to the state agency, and the federal government is now cleanse itself of it because nobody's going to speak out. DHHL, being the agency that it is, it will, the serpent, I should say, if you want to borrow a biblical term. And knowing that it's contaminated, they have a responsibility to know that it is, and they don't. So I don't know as far as how did they know what they know. The documents and the history reflects that they knew, should have known. And part of the process, let's say they didn't even know at all. What they have to do, though, is do samplings in closing the facility to hand it over to others, because there may be some people coming along and put up a community center, transitional housing, or residential housing. But you wanted to make sure that the former use does not threaten the environment or human health.
Well, now, I knew Marva Garrett. She's passed. She owned an awful lot of that property along the canal there that runs through Miley.
Okay.
And we used to kid her about being a slumlord, but she went out there all the time. And then now that I think back, she died very young. I mean, she was out there every day working on that property for the tenants. And then when she died, she didn't have any next of kin. And the state took the land. All of it.
Well, we may be talking about the same property, but I don't think
it's,
so.
It's a, it was on both sides of the river that runs through.
No, this one, the river didn't exist for us during that time because they donated the land to the city and to build the stream. So I don't know about that, but I am focused on this 84 acres remaining in the system. Hold on. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I do not want to change the subject, but empirical validity is what you're talking about. Validity meaning founded in truth, the necessary conditions for truth, and the experience, the real instance in time and space, not abstract, pure thought, not theory, but hear, smell, taste, touch. That is exactly what you've been talking about on your program. What I wanted to mention as quickly as I can is that I was there Wednesday at Bill 23.
Yeah, hold on, Richard. Is this related to the subject, or this is a different topic?
No, it is. It's different.
Okay, let's bring people on
sure,
track.
I'll call
I mean,
back at another time.
No,
thank
no.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead. Chill out. I'm trying. When we were talking, at least let us know. Let the listener know what. What now we're changing subject.
Yes, you
so
are.
So please. And
I did that.
Yeah. So give us. Now, so we're going to switch tracks to talk about which subject?
Bill 23, the general excise tax, the transportation surcharge, the meeting they had on Wednesday that I was there, I attended, and I spoke.
Okay.
Twice. So I do not want to interrupt your.
No, no. Come on, Richard. I've just put that subject on the shelf for a moment. Go ahead.
Okay,
Yeah. I was simply.
Extension from 22 to 27. Hart does not know the final price tag. It's going to be $1.3 billion over. Here's a summary of the amendment summary. This extension has to comply with ADA action. They stole the 5307 money from the van. It's going to capital cost must be locally preferred alternatives. What the hell does that mean? Hart must update their financial plan so they're taking money from the general fund of the transit fund. They haven't complied with that. They must comply with a Hart quarterly report, project status and cash balance. Their new consultant said this already. Has to be a report on the contractors and subcontractor bills and how they're paid. Caldwell was there unannounced, and he said that best practices along with Formby, and the Mayor Brown in San Francisco said whatever you're doing at this time is simply a down payment. The elevated guideway in San Francisco and Boston was torn down. Ferry building, we're going to put it up in front of a lower tower. There is no quality management. If you want to find out, look at Deming's 14 points. The consultants we had, Infra, Consult, Parsons, Brinker, Hofker, Boskus, and now we're paying $900,000, whatever, $93,000 to a new consultant, Barnes. And Formby said himself that he is not acquainted with rail, but he's in harbors and airports. Hart, here's one of the most important concern. Hart is semi-autonomous, and different people in agencies do not know how to define semi-autonomous. So the Charter Commission asked, how or what does semi-autonomous mean? And the whole process is corrupt. Oh, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, and that is that on November the 3rd, 5:30, Couple A, they're going to have a meeting on the general excise tax. November 3rd, 5:30. November the 9th at 5:30, Washington Middle School. Now, according to Ann Kobayashi, this is not a done deal until the end of the year. I find that hard to believe. There's going to be so much pressure on the city council, the budget committee, on Ernie Martin to make sure it's done before that. I thank you so much. I've had a very difficult time getting through to anybody. You are so gracious and kind.
Well, let's...
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a break for a minute here. Okay. Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Sorry about this this voice. I thought I was ready to go rocking and rolling. So I'm going to need you to be a little patient with me. Those of you that are calling in and wanting to talk about subject, just go ahead and let's talk. We We can do that. So we'll manage this, and I do apologize. When I walked into the shop this morning, everything was fine. So things change at a frog's pace. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments.
Well, what's up, Carol Cox?
Not much. What are you up to?
Not much.
Okay. Well, sounds like you're...
Huh?
Well, go ahead. Real quick, get your silliness on.
Get your
game on. Come on. Hurry up.
I didn't really have a comment. I was calling to say hello.
Okay. Well, thank you.
We got the football Sunday game of the...
Well, you see, some people have no mercy. But we'll live with that. That's part of life, I guess. But we're going to talk about, you know, the sludge out there in Waianae that came from Hawaii Kai Marina. Well, that's back in the news. Well, not in the news yet, but it will be. They're now starting up an effort to start to dredge it again. And this time there's some issues. They want to put it on a piece of property of Rim Island 2 that they were not authorized to do that initially. So we're going to talk to Jim Dittmeyer later on, and let's see if this is him. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments.
Good morning, brother.
Yeah, good morning.
I hope you get better, man, whatever you caught.
Oh, I'm going to get better. You know, when you're out sneaking around in the swamp, you get frogs in your throat, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, just drink plenty of liquid, you know, think positive.
Oh, yeah, and if I can just not talk so darn much, probably that'd
be... Yeah, okay. Hey, thanks for that music. That last song was great.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, that was killer, the sax. It was just hit the spot.
Yeah, that's from a thing called All Blown Out.
Air Blown Out, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Call Safe Sax, Ferris.
Yeah. You know about this dredging over here in the harbor?
Uh-huh.
You were just talking about, when was the last time the place was dredged? What's the history of the place, do you know?
Well, remember, it's in limbo now. That they were dredging it, and they got snagged when the guy sneaking around the freeway and dropped it on the freeway and then found out that it was being buried, dumped over in Waianae and then Hawaiian homelands area near that area. And so that put a kibosh on it. And because they deviated from their original plan, huh?
Okay. So that is a new proposal, and they're going ahead with the original dredging or something.
Well, they're seeking to, and the issues are now. And if Mr. Dittmeyer is going to call in, we'll find out.
That's great. Eventually that stuff has to be put somewhere, and it's a pollutant that you're just moving around. You're not really solving the problem of the pollution in the material, yeah?
Right.
From A to B, and B is just as bad as A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it comes to contaminations and the costs and all that, we need to revisit our rules and how we handle. Even the DLNR in this process need to make a final statement, right?
Yeah.
Because they got a permit to dump it in the ocean and dump it along some of the beach areas within the marina area or associated with. And
how could we stop that from going forward with anywhere they can dump it like that? Why were them kind of rules written into the agreement?
Well, remember, it's been a while. You know, you hear me poking fun at sometimes they say with the... You shouldn't have so much to say about this because you're not an expert, you know.
Yeah.
You know how that works, right?
Yeah, crap is crap.
Yeah. So here's the deal. You know, when you get a bunch of geniuses in and dummies like you and me, we are not going to fare well, you know, because we know nothing. And so they agreed to put it on barges and... But what they didn't, you know, in their ingenious ways and all the science and the calculus and physics and the equation, and they said, well, if you allow us to dump it in the ocean, we'll haul it there in barges, and we'll take the barges and draw them onto the bridge and on Hawaii Kai Kalani and Ole, and we'll load them up and then pull them through under the bridge and go. Well, the problem is, they draft too much and they don't fit under the bridge and they drag on the bottom.
Yeah, he got to go with the tide. That's just a big...
No, they can't even go with the tide. I mean...
but you said, if you go with the tide, you're still not going to win.
Yeah, so anyway, that's... I always remind myself that it's not how smart you are. It's how smart you work.
You follow it.
And
that's too much of a hazard. Well, why can't they just suck it out in, like, big, gigantic tankers and then transport it that way? Is that more chance of humbug or something?
Well, you know, because it is state waters and federal waters, or you wouldn't, and this is a private marina.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to allow a private marina to take all of his crap and suck it out in a big pipe and then dump it right there.
Anywhere.
You understand?
Yeah.
And that's the joy and the pain of having your own private marina, you see?
Yeah, you got to live up to some kind of standards.
Yeah, you ice out the public, but then when your little fish pond fills up, you now got to go to the public. Can we dump our detritus or crap from our private little islands and our private lives into your big ocean? Right?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
And then the private has no use of it because, you know, you get caught in there. You got to have this and a sticker for that and blood type.
What standard procedure was, they've been dumping stuff in the oceans ever since we got here. In reality, right?
Yeah.
So, this thing here is just going to make them address the problem a little bit different in some way if we could.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
So like I said, recycle the stuff or, you know, but dumping it in the ocean, I think, is the last thing that they should be even legally able to do.
Well, they're also, I'm told, they had an occasion or considered dropping it at Punalu.
Oh.
That's up there in your neck of the woods, brother.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I know there's a big deep hole over there in Punalu, you know, in the ocean, 600 feet deep. I guess they're trying to fill that hole up.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So
this is all insanity, dumping the stuff.
Yeah. Well, again, the Army Corps of Engineers knew that they were not adhering to the conditions of their permit by dumping it in the ocean.
Yeah.
And they didn't take any...
Action
against them, even with my filing of a complaint.
Yeah,
so,
man. Like, we're living in a lawless world. You know what I mean? When it comes to environmental law.
I guess not to be disagreeable. We have laws.
Yeah.
We just have the toothless tiger and the BS that goes with it, right? And it depends on who you know and who you blow. And who you gonna put up money in their pocket so they can fly off to Vegas or go to the condominium in Tahoe, right?
Yeah.
You know,
just get your paycheck.
Yeah. So it's not that. One of the things I admire about Hawaii is that we have the best rules there are. We have the best rule makers there are.
Yeah.
But we don't have anybody that will enforce those rules, and nor do we have anybody that will enforce those rules and apply them equally across the table.
That's the beginning of the breakdown of society when the kids are gone.
Yeah.
And we're on the verge of, you know, what is the common guy, you know, that just wants to keep status quo even? What the heck can we do? You know what I mean?
Hold on. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. Go ahead with the comment.
Hi, Carol. It's Jim Dipar.
Hello, Jim. How are you? We're talking
about your
subject. We're talking about you out there in Hawaii, Kai. And so bring us up to date. What's going on and where are we with this proposed dredging, or recurrence of dredging? How will you describe it?
They stopped the dredging about 2 years ago because they spilled all the dredged material on H1 highway freeway, as you remember. They've come back down. Apparently, the Hawaii Kai Marina Community Association has asked for a new permit from the Corps of Engineers and requested permission to fill in Rim Island Number 2. Rim Island Number 2 is a 4-acre atoll-looking island in the Upper Marina. It's the last part of the original Quapaw Pond, which is a 530-acre pond, marine fish pond and wetland. It was the largest in Polynesia. The pond was originally designated for dredged spoil material in the late 1900s. The Hawaii Kai Marina filled it with dredged spoil material, and the wonderful thing happened. The Hawaiian stilts returned to Hawaii Kai after being gone for almost 40 years. The marina wants to fill in the Hawaiian stilt habitat just because it's the cheapest thing to do. They have a site over in Kahului, but they think it's cheaper to fill in a wildlife habitat than it is to haul it over there. But they didn't seem to mind hauling it out to Waianae and filling it out there. And right now, the Corps of Engineers is evaluating the whole proposal.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was agreeing with you.
After, if the Corps grants a permit, then they have to go to the state of Hawaii and get a similar permit from the Division Department of Land and Natural Resources. The state provisions for saving endangered species is much more strict than the federal government, and we feel that in the past the state's been very supportive of our efforts, and we think they will be in the future. So it's a constant worry, though. The Hawaii Kai Marina Association is a strange duck. They're spending $50,000 on a PR campaign to tell everyone what a wonderful job they are. I'd prefer to see the $50,000 spent on how to improve the water quality in the Hawaii Kai Marina.
Mm-hmm.
They do those kind of things. They're just completely out of touch. I think they're back in the 1970s with as far as development goes.
So you're optimistic and thinking that the state is going to do this right? What about, where were they when they were hauling the crap over there into Waianae and dumping it? Well, the state knew that, and then they knew that they needed to do, in the permit they said that they weren't going to do any overland hauling. So how can we be assured that the state is going to adopt a stance now of being...
I don't know. It feels like Hawaii Kai Marina Association has a get-out-of-jail-free card. I don't know how they manage. They're like Teflon. I mean, they wrote the Corps of Engineers after they got the permit from the Corps and said, oh, by the way, we're going to dump it in Waianae. And the Corps never said anything about it.
Yeah.
And everyone's shocked after it happens. I mean, come on, guys. Everyone knew they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it got dumped on the freeway, they found out about it.
And the Army Corps required them to place on a CD-ROM a report on every time they haul and the tonnage that they haul and when they dump by barge to the designated site that the Army Corps had given, authorized. They didn't do that and never raised an eyebrow, never asked a question as to...
Well, the reason why they couldn't haul it out to sea is the contractor they hired knew they had to haul it out to sea, but he came in and said, oh, I can't haul it out to sea because my barge won't fit under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, you bid the job. Why didn't you bid it according to specs?
So,
this is the thing the Hawaii Kai Marina does. They think they're back in the 1970s. They can do whatever they want.
So if why is it, maybe you can ask this, maybe you can, or give some opinion. If, in fact, there was a contract and this was a job described and you got the permit, Hawaii Kai Marine Association got the permit issued with these conditions, the contractor says, I can do that, and then the contractor fails, has the Hawaii Kai Marina thought about suing to recover and make them come in and do it anyway using smaller barges or what have you?
Well, the problem you have with the Hawaii Kai Marina Association, they put up the thing where it's an ongoing contract. We can't allow you to look at it because it's privileged. For instance, they fly up a bird man from Kona. I guess he comes up, I don't know how often. They fly him up from Kona, pay his airfare up here, he rents a car, drives out to Hawaii Kai Marina, goes out and looks on Rim Island 2 for Hawaiian stilts, gets back in his boat, gets back on the airplane, flies back to Kona. It must cost you $1,000 every time they do it. They probably go out in the middle of the day where there's no Hawaiian stilts there because they're out fishing. They're only there in the morning and early morning and late afternoon. So they say there's no stilts out there. Well, you know, that's not true. We know that. We know it's a known Hawaiian stilt nesting site. And the state law is very, very clear about that. You cannot disturb a endangered species nesting site. So I think we have some very good support. We have the Hawaii Audubon Society behind us. We have Livable Hawaii Kaihui. We have Mauna Loa. We have your organization, and we have the Concerned Citizens of Hawaii Kai, which I'm one of. So I think we have a fairly good group of dedicated people who are going to work very closely with the state to be sure whatever happens out there in Hawaii Kai is pulled off.
Now, they were authorized to use Rim Island 1 to dump on the, am I correct?
Yes, they were.
And
they filled Rim Island 1 up, and it's interesting, Rim Island 1 is now full of pickleweed, but they didn't want to fill, they didn't want to hurt the pickleweed, but they want to fill in an endangered species habitat. Figure that one out.
Oh, man.
This area where the birds, the endangered species, is there enough area for them to reproduce there?
Yeah, they reproduce there. We found the first nest back in about 2003. It's interesting, in fact, that I was on the Marina board at the time. I reported the nest was there, and next thing I know, all four eggs disappeared.
Wait a minute. You mean there's only one, and then all of a sudden the one disappeared?
All four of them disappeared. Now, when a predator comes in and takes a nest like that, they leave the eggshells behind, right?
Yeah, there's really some evidence.
But there were no eggshells or anything. The whole thing disappeared.
Yeah, that was a thief.
And the only persons that were allowed out there were the Hawaii Kai Marina Association.
There's something going on there, yeah.
What happened was the stilts came back, and they double flushed, they laid another single egg, and that bird hatched, and I have a video of it. So.
Oh, wow, unreal.
So I did.
They're watching you, too, as you go into there. Somebody's watching that pond all the time.
Oh, yeah, I can't get in there. No one can get in there. I was talking to a lady from Aquatic Resources who wants to go out and check the biota out there in the pond, and I don't think she can get in either. If they fill in Rim Island 2, they'll assure we'll never have Hawaiian stilts in Hawaii Kai again.
Yeah.
That's the sad part.
How can they get away with destroying the habitat? Isn't there a blatant law that says you cannot destroy, native habitat?
Well, as I said, we're going to work very closely with the state and try and work with the state to be sure that the habitat's protected. But, we need all the support we can get.
So contact the DLNR and tell them or ask them to.
Contact Susanna Case. Call Susanna Case at DLNR and tell her. Let's say Rim Island number 2.
So DLNR is the kind of the final decision on this thing?
No.
The final decision will probably rest with the Board of Land and Natural Resources, but I don't see why. One, it's conservation land, it's an endangered species habitat, and we think the state does not say it's a wetland, too. So.
But
shut the thing down. Any authority, you would think if they were endangering native species.
Well, Jim, what's going to happen is that a lot of this rests lay in the hands of the Army Corps. It sounds like we're expecting the state to do, but again, the Army Corps should take major actions because they deviated from their original permit.
Well, the Army Corps has got this philosophy: as long as the action doesn't further endanger the continued existence of the endangered species, it's okay to wipe out the bird. So
I understand that philosophy, but this is something unrelated in a sense. This is the process. They obtain a permit by offering certain things that they would do, proposal. This is what the Army Corps said. Okay, you're going to dump it in the ocean. We're going to grant you a permit. We've mitigated. We know that it's not going to have major impacts. So, therefore, here is your permit with these conditions. You deviate from that. You should go back to the tables and start all over again. And the debate and the public and everyone else has comment time. That's what troubles me in reading the document.
I called the Corps lady, a very nice lady. I'm not going to give her a name because I want to put her on the spot. And I asked her, would there be any public comment period? She said no, but under the Freedom of Information Act, I could request all the information I wanted after the decision was made, which means that they're not going to the public again.
But they should, because if it's a major development, and this was a draft environmental impact statement, And the FEIS, I'm asking OEQC to look at it anyway, but the final environmental impact statement. But nonetheless, if you get a permit under certain conditions and you deviate from that, and these are drastic deviations, there should not be any handing of permits until they show, because they need to look at the new impacts, which would then include the impacts on the Hawaiian stilt and other species, because I'm sure there are other species that we don't know about. I saw your video, ruddy turnstone, but there could be a bristle-thighed curlew. There could be, you follow?
Yeah, I think honestly, I couldn't look at the video real, but there might be some endangered Hawaiian coots out there too.
Yeah,
you know, you talk to a National Aquatic Resources, she thinks there might be some native endangered shrimp out there. But you know, Gary, again, it's Hawaiian Chimarina Association has not been open about trying to do a true study of this area. All they want to do is fill it because it's the cheapest thing to do.
Yeah, the more information they give, you use it against them probably.
Well, we're going to have to take a break. If you want to call back, Jim, or hold on, we'll finish this up if you have more to say.
I think the thing we have to say, one thing, Carol, you're talking about a multi-million-dollar community out there. It's a very affluent community. And saying that it's the cheapest thing to do, it shouldn't be the cheapest thing to do. It should be the right thing to do.
Right.
That's not what they're doing.
Okay. Well, hold that thought.
Aloha, Carol.
All right. Thank you. Aloha.
Good talking to you.
All right.
You guys.
Thank you. Talk to you.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show and his friend the Frog. I feel like I got Kermit down. And then I'm playing the messages and talk about flu season. I got my flu shot and maybe that's why it happens. Anyway, just getting a report that several bystanders in Waikiki report seeing sharks at the off Moana Hotel. So if you're down there, be safe, be careful. And it wasn't sharks. It was a couple city councilmen swimming. I'm sorry. No, just kidding. But be careful, guys. They're reporting seeing shark in Waikiki. No species, no size yet, but I'll keep you posted if I get anything while on air here. Okay. Okay, Jim, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Go ahead and share with us.
I think the thing is right now, I think it's important we try and save what we can. You know, we've lost so much in Hawaii. And what is a greater thing to have an urban area like Hawaii Kai, to have an endangered species habitat right in the middle of it? I've talked to a number of real estate agents, and they all say it's a great selling point for the area.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that we can have some development, and we can save some of our wildlife areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, you know, after 1969, the Department of the DLNR counted all the birds in Hawaii Kai, and they essentially said the stilts are piled, they're gone. And now they've come back. What a great thing that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where we are. That's what we're trying to do right now. Let's just save a little bit of old Hawaii. And unfortunately, if you look at how the Marina Association is made up, it's dominated by shopping centers.
Right.
Shopping centers are not known for taking care of endangered species habitats.
Well, the Costco at Hawaii Kai there, wasn't that results of dredging, of tailings from the dredging on occasion?
All of Hawaii Kai did all the dredging. It was a 530-acre fish pond at one time, and it turned out to be like a 270-acre marina after they got done. I live in Hawaii Kai on the marina. I'm a beneficiary of it. I'm,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very pleasant place to live, as you know, but why can't we save this 1 4-acre parcel? I mean, is that so onerous?
Right.
It's the right thing to do. Even if the birds weren't there, it'd be the right thing to do, because it's a little oasis in the middle of Hawaii Kai, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hold on here, Jim. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning. I have absolutely nothing to add to what Jim just said, since I live four doors from Jim. But what I do remember was when Mr. Young, the Chinese man that lived in Kuyo'o, owned all of this as a duck pond. And then when Mr. Kaiser bought it to create Hawaii Kai, then when we moved in, Bishop Estate owned the marina. And I don't remember the exact date of that. Then when the first dredging that I remember came along, all of a sudden we, as people living along the 12 acres, all of a sudden we were the owners.
Uh-huh.
So I don't remember how that legally that happened.
Right.
But Jim can tell you more about that.
Yeah.
You know, what happened was the Hawaii Kaiser, Henry J. Kaiser owned it through a subsidiary in Belford or something like that. And they transferred the marina to a Hawaii Kai Marina Community Association, which is a nonprofit. It's owned by all the homeowners. But what happened is when Kaiser set it up, basically, it's definitely in the favor of the shopping centers, because they have a significant number of votes, and they have six members outright on the 15-member board, so they have two more members. They control the board. Most people in Hawaii Kai are very happy with the marina and don't really care that much about it. So you go to an annual meeting at the Hawaii Kai Community Association, maybe it's 15 people there, and there's 2,700 members. So what we're trying to do is just be sure that we save a little bit of Hawaii Kai. That's what we're trying to do.
Right. And then provide habitat, which
they
Rim Island 2 was built as a result of dredging. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was actually supposed to be Kaiser who was thinking ahead and said, well, we'll leave these donut-shaped islands out there, and they can fill them up with dredging material. In the late 1990s, the Hawaii Kai Marine Association, without any thought what they're doing, they partially filled the area, and they created a wetland.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hawaiian stilts came back and reoccupied it, which I think is a wonderful thing. So in reality, the Hawaii Kai Marine Association shot themselves in the foot. But as a result of that, we have Hawaiian stilts now nesting in Hawaii Kai, which I think is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that portion of it, they dredged how much? It was fish ponds, so I'm sure it lent itself to habitat for the coot and the gallinule and other shorebirds.
Oh, it did.
You know.
It did. And there's pictures of it prior to development. And it is absolutely beautiful. And Jim is right. When they have meetings, none of the people show up for the meeting, so that the marina board gets to do whatever they want to do. And that is exactly it. And even now, I don't think there. Now Jim can tell you more. But I don't think there's one spot all along the 12-mile area that is not developed. And when it rains, when we have a heavy rain, and it comes down out of the valley, we get, well, you can't believe the stuff that floats down the water.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's...
Oh, it's terrible.
What goes up must come down, so...
That's what I was talking about. The reservoirs just spent $50,000, then a PR firm to tell you what a great job they're doing. But why don't they look at improving the water quality, like putting booms across the outlets, siltation basins to stop the sediment from coming in. That's one thing NOAA complained about, was the fact of the amount of sedimentation coming out of the Hawaii Marina. But the Marina Board rather spend the thing rather than do something positive about it. But that's pretty much their modus operandi. Mm-hmm. Why bother to do something positive when we can just spend it?
Okay. Well, I hope if the DLNR does what's right, the Corps permit lasts until 2018, correct? The original one that they issued?
I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me. You know more about the Corps than I do in this thing.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I can tell our listeners is, you know, call or email Susanna Case, who's your person of DLNR, and just say, save Rim Island 2, Rim Island number 2. Uh-huh. I think that would be the most effective thing we can do.
Jim, I love you dearly, but I have no faith in DLNR in the last few chairs. So, but I do say keep writing, you know. Don't give up just because I have.
We can't give up. We have to keep up. I've been doing this. I've been trying to say Rim Island 2 for the last 13 years. So.
Oh.
All righty. Well,
I imagine I'll be doing it 13 years from now, too.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Jim, and we'll get back with you and talk.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Oh, gosh. I just pushed the wrong buttons. Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in and everything. Richard, if you're out there, I don't know if you called me earlier, and if you had completed your conversation, let me know, or if you had other things to say. But one of the things I wanted to share with you real quick, and I'm going to get back to the Miley, because I believe the Miley situation is larger than anybody can imagine. And the state, all there is, now imagine out there in Miley, there's 5 acres that they say is a site of concern, where PCB is on the surface of the soil down to 4 feet. The surface now. People have had access to that area for many years. And they have it fenced off. Let me just show you, try and convey to you how neighborly these military organizations are. And mind you now, when I say these military organizations, I admire them. I appreciate the military, but damn, at some point, you know, you can't just be admired and loved to death and then in turn behave as if you're the most criminally minded person on the planet and you still want respect. I mean, there is a balance, and that respect is only going to come from, it's not hard to do to clean it up. And so when you walk away and you leave this crap on the ground and you know it's deadly, it's one of the most deadliest of carcinogens. We know that. And then you put a fence around it with a small lock, and then on the fence it just says government property. No trespassing. Why not put a geotextile area over the area until you are prepared to dig it up, transport it out to the mainland, or remediate it? But in these volumes and levels of contaminants, you're not going to be able to do that. Not locally here. So it's shameful. It's a shameful practice. I know people in the military. I know people in the Army Coast Guard, and they do great things. But my God, man, you can't, even for your own image, to behave and leave crap like this sitting up in the valley where people are building houses and handing the land over to other, and you walk away. And then you struggle, and you don't. You could contract with someone to actually oversee the project. You don't have to wait until Methuselah wakes up or Rip Van Winkle wakes up. You can do it now. That's your job. So, but to not put on a fence, hazardous materials, please stay back. In the strongest language, telling the public exactly what is found there, what is there, you see. They won't do that. Just government property. Well, if it's government property, clean it up and take it away. But again, and my friends over there at DOH, there's this a culture, and I'll share with you, and I'll get to the callers. There's a culture that has found its rooted itself in the culture of government work. So you have state workers who are there regulating. You have public person like myself who are concerned and looking, comes along and sees and start asking questions, and then you discover that there's this relationship between the state regulatory body and the federal government of one of protection. One that, for me, I get told, well, you're going to make trouble for them. Are you going to, you know, let us talk to him, to the Coast Guard first before you call them. I mean, for it's been laying out there since the 40s. Now, why all of a sudden I got to wait until you call them and introduce me? I don't need introduction, and nor does any other public person. So there is something strangely that have entrenched here that we say we have no money. It's not our responsibility as regulators. PCB's laying over a 5-acre plot of land, but I suspect there's more, and I don't believe that we're seeing the full truth of what is going on. Caller, good morning. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Good morning, Mr. Carol Cox. On October 28, Wednesday at 3:30 p.m., the city commission is having a public meeting because every 10 years they got to review the city charter. I don't know. You may know about this. Are you going to be there? I'm going to be there probably. This is Glenn from Kakaako.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know if I'll be there, Glenn. I have a couple other things planned, but I can surely read about it, and who knows, I might go.
Okay, then. Take care. Have a good
day. All right. So October 28th,
Wednesday, mm-hmm. This coming Wednesday.
Where is it going to be held?
I don't know. I forgot to look at the location. Someplace in Honolulu, Hawaii, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Glenn.
Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks. And again, thank all of you for tolerating. If you turn off the radio, I understand. The voice will kill you. But the Miley matter is something that we're going to keep pushing, and we're going to ask the Coast Guard this week. I know they say they've identified. You see how they talk? They've identified $1.8 million. What the hell does that mean? You've identified that there's contaminants in the soil for the last 40 years or longer, and now you just identified some money to clean it up. But then even if you identified the money, you hadn't hired a program manager to oversee it and address the issues. So it sounds like a bunch of bull to me, but again, that's to be expected. But, you know, don't look the public in the eye and expect them to hold you in high esteem and then respect you. And then, okay, you saved a life, you fought the country, you chased the terrorists. But then when it came to me, it's as if you abandoned the relationship. No love here. You cannot, when all you got to do is it's your obligation as a military entity. It's your obligation as a government entity. And you got the money. And if you don't have the money, then you should be out stomping your feet saying, look, we have a condition up there in Miley that is so horrendous and so threatening, such a threat to the public, that we need immediate action. All four of our federal legislators would probably be as aggressive as ever if they were told directly what was going on. Not milquetoasty, but just give it to them. And as well as our regular legislators. And I'm going to contact Ms. Tupiola, I guess if I'm not pronouncing her name right, and the other legislators up there, because though I've come to you on many occasions and say, oh, this is really horrendous, this one, believe you me, these numbers don't match, and it's not good. And if you want to see the real report, the full two reports, one is on the final project report, phase two confirmatory sampling of 84-acre former Voice of America site, Ma'ili, Oahu. That's one of the reports, okay? The other report is site sampling report for the Miley DU PCB testing for United States Coast Guard Ma'ili Eastern Fence Line. And this is a fence line where they built right behind on new homes, or built the new homes and put it on 10 feet of soil, a berm up, you know. So does that mean that they actually cleaned the PCB soil up and put the berms and then built the houses? Or is it laden with PCBs? I don't know. I'm still reading. And one of the reports is about 300 pages. The other is about 100-some pages. And it has all the details. And I encourage all of you out there in Ma'ili and for your neighborhood boards, all the things you chase and all the issues you've been running around with and holding the hands of your neighborhood boarders and all of that, I think that this rises up to the level of seriousness. And I think that what I would recommend is that you immediately ask the Coast Guard and have your legislators to hold their feet to the fire and get this cleaned up without delay. And also to characterize that entire parcel, that property, the original 90 acres. And then I think there would be a ease of mind. But right now, if you knew what I knew, you would probably pack your bags and leave until they gave the all-clear sign. And some of these new homes are beautiful homes. I guess it's Sea Country. They border the property. And one of them, the analytical results of the soil samples indicate the following. It was detected above laboratory reporting limits in all 30 samples at concentrations from 23 milligrams per kilogram to 95,000 milligrams per kilogram. Out of the 30 detections, 18 of the detected samples concentrations are above the EPA residential RSL of 240. Okay, so the give you an idea, 240 is the residential RSL per milligram by EPA standards, for residential. You have sites here with 95,000 milligrams per kilogram. You go figure. And we can't allow this. And this is what we call environmental racism. You may not accept that, but I will say to you, not that it won't happen in Hawaii Kai. We don't know anything could happen anywhere, but this is predominantly, look at the makeup of the people in Ma'ili and the people that have historically been there with this, the presence here. So as a distraction, the government says that we need to, we've identified the money. No. Show up at the neighborhood boards, go on TV and tell us that you have acquired the money and you have now let out contracts to resolve this matter. No further delay. That's the problem. And it's just, I don't know. So that someone asked me of some details the other day about this, and I'm going to struggle with this. But the project background and historical site use, 84-acre project site, consists of a portion of the former VOA site, Voice of America. And aerial photographs indicate that 89-acre site was part of a 93-acre condemnation by the State Department in 1949. So 93 acres were the original number. The 93-acre site appeared to have operated as an antenna relay station from as early as 1944 through 1971. The U.S. State Department utilized the relay station to transmit Voice of America broadcasts. By 1971, the U.S. State Department discontinued use of the facility and utilized General Services Administration to find a new user. 4 acres of the site was transferred to the city and county of Honolulu for construction of the Ma'ili Channel. The United States Coast Guard initially accepted the remaining 89-acre portion of the facility with the intentions of using it as long as range radio station. They had a typo here. But however, the U.S. Coast Guard later determined that its existing facility at Naval Radio Transmitter Facility Lualule was suitable for its needs, and again requested the GSA assist to find a new user. In 1986, all but one of the 6 transmitter buildings with the 4-acre portion herein of the former VOA site were demolished. The last building was demolished in 1989. A chain link fence was installed around a portion of the transmitter building area in 2008. After sampling indicated a contamination in the area was excessive, the remaining building remnants with the fenced area were removed in December 2009, leaving only the concrete foundations. In 2007, the state of Hawaii announced plans to utilize 5-acre portion of the VO site at the northeast corner to construct transitional village to ease the homeless situation facing the state. Construction of the transitional village began in 2008 and was completed in 2009. And we're still stuck with the PCBs. I don't know what to tell you. But it's not comforting. And it doesn't feel good to know that there are children and or just human beings being subjected, and the encroachment and the houses that are built right there and the environmental impact. And, you know, these areas are susceptible to and prone to brush fires. And imagine the whirlwind of smoke and the PCBs, because PCBs are in oil. In the oil form. So guess what? All of that will swirl, and God only knows what the firemen will experience. And they've had their share of fires in that area. So I'm often wondering, what medical conditions have we witnessed as a result of leaving this Voice of America site exposed? I'm going to be right back, and we'll take a break. And we'll talk shortly. Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Taking a voice break there. Man, I don't know about you, but this is just an ugly feeling. So what we have now, I've talked about the Miley. I want to share with you something on the Ho'opili, and this relates to that, I told you way back that I had concerns about an action, and it related to the Board of Water Supply's actions back in earlier than 2006. But I shared with you there's a thing called the Ever Shaft, and the Ever Shaft is a source of water that was used. A well that was used to suck up water out there to supply the sugarcane fields with. So what happened? Now, Ho'opili is going to get its water from somewhere. And some of this water is going to possibly come from the Ever Shaft. We don't know yet because we're hearing and we're picking up bits and pieces that the shaft is contaminated with and the water that's in it is contaminated with fecal coliform, and they couldn't establish that. Now, I don't know what they have done lately, but these were issues that were raised and then they had to refurbish it. But going back to the original, how this came about. I told you that in a October 2006 audit, city auditor's report, that the city Board of Water Supply spent $13.5 million to purchase the Ever Shaft from the estate of James Campbell, rehabilitating the contaminated shaft at a cost of $4.5 million, absorbing future liabilities and obligating Board of Water Supply to provide the estate with 3 million gallons of water per day, more than was officially allocated by the state, rather than condemning the property outright. So my question is this. If Nestor Garcia was working, and we found later that he was working for the Campbell Estate while serving as a city council person. Did he have any role in this absurd deal that the auditor is saying, rather than paying these people this money and accepting the obligations for contaminants? And by the way, the contaminants that they speak about is atrazine, which is not a good chemical, but it was used in raising various sugarcane and what have you. So then there's the other thing. There's Teresa McMurdo, who was a worker or employee or something to do with Campbell Estate. And she's on the Board of Water Supply. The question I have is that if the auditor is saying that while buying and paying $13.5 million to Campbell Estate when they could have condemned it is one strike. Two, we then going to spend $4.5 million to absorb the future liabilities, meaning if someone comes along and file a lawsuit saying that your water made me sick and you're pumping it to Ho'opili because it has atrazine or fecal coliform in it, who takes that burden? Well, apparently James Campbell has been exonerated from this through this deal. This occurred. This audit occurred in 2006. You can go to carolcox.com and pull that up. But the Ever Shaft is located as you're traveling westbound on H1 after you leave Cuneo. About three-quarters of a mile from the north-south road, and it abuts the freeway. Now, that situation is something that I tried to follow the numbers, and I contacted the Seaworm, and the thing said it's going to be 12 point, the amount of water that comes through that thing is, that well, or that shaft is 12.154 million gallons per day. And they would have to get a water use permit. Now, it's down right now. It's broken, or they're repairing it, and they're spending this money. But what happens is that I'm looking at what transpired before. James Campbell, is it Hoa Pili? So they know that they were going to build houses there. And so they allow the people to buy it from them when we didn't have to buy it. But then they are already allocated certain gallons, a million gallons per day. And then we gave them an extra 3 million gallons per day just for the deal. So something is wrong with that project. Something, there's many questions that should be answered or should be raised. So I went through and did some research more on the Ewa shaft. It's a major existing groundwater source in Leeward, Oahu. It was first developed in 1930s by the Ewa Plantation Company and subsequently managed by Oahu Sugar to provide irrigation for its sugarcane field. With the closure of the Oahu Sugar Company in 1995, sugarcane operations are slowly being replaced with smaller diversified agriculture plots. The diversified crops typically use less water. While irrigation water needs have declined, ongoing... Now, this is why you hear my suspicions. I'm vocalizing them. When I say Nestor Garcia, this letter and this project, EIS, Draft Environmental Assessment, that was sent and a no significant impact statement was issued by Board of Water Supply. While irrigation water needs have declined, ongoing residential developments in Ewa and the new city of Kapolei have increased the potable water demand in the region. According to the Ewa Development Plan, as revised in 1987, the Board of Water Supply, City and County of Honolulu, projects that an additional 35 million gallons of water per day of potable water will be needed in Ewa by 2020 to meet the projected growth in residential commercial demand. Meeting this demand will require reallocation of water within the island-wide system, as well as development of existing and new sources. So the proposed Ewa Shaft renovation project will play a significant role in achieving this goal. Currently, the allowable pumpage at Ewa Shaft is approximately 12.15 million gallons, or more than 30% of the 35 million gallons per day. Projected increase of Ewa Oahu by 2020. Now, we got a different set of numbers. We're told when it is up and running, it's going, instead of the 12.515 million gallons per day, it will only give 7.661 million gallons per day. So if this housing development is going to need 35 million gallons per day, where is this water coming from? But I suspect that something, there should be some questions, and I'm going to try and look to see how and when, if Nestor Garcia had any say or any involvement in this, because you just don't get paid just because you're cute, not in this world. You have to deliver. And I want to know what it is, and I don't want to cast aspersions on him or say that he did anything wrong, but again, he was there working for them, and he didn't disclose that. And they are the developers, and then they place someone on their board, on the board of water supply, to get them there, and I don't know who was instrumental in doing that, but it happened. So that was the situation with the Eva shaft. Now, they are still working on it, or maybe they've completed it and they've painted it up. But again, it's that fecal coliform bacteria that plagues them. This is what we're being told. So the question is, what are they going to do? How are they going to handle this? And will this impact the development of Ho'opili? Will they get their water? Where will they get their water from? Now, I know we sell the water, we being the Board of Water Supply. We sell the water, and we get paid for it. But is it, should we have given $13.5 million to someone that had a well that was broken, not functional, and had problems with contamination? Make you think. So that's where we are with that. And hopefully the city and county of Honolulu, they don't allow the building and have no water. Because then we, I guess, I don't know how far we are from desalination, but one of the things is that area out there is problematic because in the old days they had many of open landfills and many injection wells. And so this is pulling from the top. I didn't read all the details to you about the layer of water that's being extracted, but it's out there. It's problematic. Now, another thing I was going to share with you was on Heia State Small Boat Harbor Wastewater Treatment. I recovered a letter from the Wastewater Branch, and this is what the Wastewater Branch of the Department of Health wrote on September 17, 2015. Now, the backdrop is Kaneohe Marine, the bay. We all boast about that and how fragile it is, and we have strict laws, and it is. There's a lot of activity out there and a lot of studies, and it's a protected area. But why would the State Department of Boating and Recreation, or DLNR, allow these conditions to develop? And these conditions are the facility. This is the letter. The Department of Health staff conducted an operation and maintenance inspection of the subject facility on August 26, 2015. The inspection covered the time period of August 7th, 2014 through August 26, 2015. The facility is given an, quote, unacceptable, end quote, general rating for deficiencies indicated below. One, poor effluent quality was observed in the seepage pits serving each caveat wastewater system. There was surface scum in the seepage pits. Two, for both Mauka and Makai wastewater systems, the total average wastewater flow for the period from May 2014 to April 2015 was 3,698 gallons per day. For some specific weeks, average daily flow exceeded the system design capacity of 3,750. Since the wastewater is generated beyond capacity at times, frequently pumping is conducted as many as four times per week from the Malka plant's preloader to prevent overflow. So, we basically have, sitting on the pier right at the in the water sticking out, is discharges of sewage. Sewage that is not properly treated. Now, they try to avoid some of that by hiring porta-potty trucks and pumper trucks, but that's an added cost. And when you see the number of people coming there to go out on the tour boats and all, you would say, why would the DLNR not fix this? And what? Why take the risk of allowing the discharge of sewage into the ocean? Now, that's not very far from Punalu'u. Or, I'm sorry, Kahului, where they had a number of high readings in fecal coliform, Clostridium. So, this is unacceptable. And hopefully, I just was told last week that some members on Big Island dealing with this matter is similar, met with the governor, our staff and all. And the governor agrees, or the staff said the governor agrees to do something about it. But how can we find ourselves in these positions where potentially untreated sewage on a daily basis at 3,000 some gallons per day, on an average 365 days of that flowing into the ocean? Now, yes, they did pump some, but then they exceeded also the number, so there you are. The contents of the Malka plant's clarifier contain a 3 to 4 inch scum layer. For the Mackay plant, there was some denitrified sludge in the surface of the clarifier contents. So these clearing processes fail. And the other functions were, for the Malka plant, there were BOD exceedance per day of 163,005 and then 8, but anyway, get past the numbers. The Mackay plant, the BOD exceedance were very high, and respectively, the float triggered switch to auto rotate. The dual submersible pumps has corroded, and now only one pump operates exclusively. A purchase order is being processed for the repair. This is something that, you know, if it was a private company, I would understand. This is the DLNR. This is the people who know and regulate the well-being and has the interests of the environment and the people's interests. And yet, they themselves are violating the law, the Clean Water Act. When does it stop? And we talk about the environment, but we act like we are a bunch of rats on a sinking ship. We're struggling to get something, but that something is going to end up leaving us all with nothing, because we don't, our government agencies don't necessarily have to respect and, you know, be motivated to protect. That's what they are here for, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. It is just not right. And why would they leave this thing to get worse and worse and worse? And it's pumping into Kaneohe Bay. So the wastewater branch will probably end up taking what they tell them. A failure to submit an AAP to our office within 30 days, they will pursue enforcement action. So hopefully under Ige's administration, we'll see something develop here. And I don't know what to tell you and what the real answers are, but we have a new chairman, and she should focus on those things rather than the tricks up her sleeve. So anyway, I'm about to drop dead with this voice, so we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.